Thanks for tuning into this week's podcast. If you'd like to know more about our ministry, you can check us out on the web at hillsideassembly.org. You're about to hear a message from our current message series, and I hope you open your heart and mind to hear a word from God today.
Put your hands together.
The greatest day in history. Death is beaten, you have rescued me.
Sing it out, Jesus is alive.
The empty cross, the empty grave. Life eternal, you have won the day. Shout it out, Jesus is alive. He's alive. Oh, happy day, happy day. He washed my sin away. Oh, happy day, happy day. I'll never be the same. Forever I am saved.
When I stand in that place, free at last, meeting face to face, I am yours, Jesus, you are mine. And
give the Lord a clap offering of praise again. Hallelujah. Go ahead, Mike. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to come and worship you this morning. Jesus, you paid it all, so that we could have eternal life. Joy everlasting here in church on this Easter and Saturday. God, may our worship rise to you, and may we remember the purpose of Easter, that you came, and that you died, but that you rose again.
I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. wounds and stay. He washed it white as snow. Just your voices. Give him your own praise and worship. We don't need a song to praise him. We just need to lift our voices. Hallelujah. We glorify you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to you, Jesus. God, we have so much to be thankful. God, as we end this time of worship, we're going to worship you with a song of praise. I thank God. Hallelujah.
Wandering in through the night, wanting a place to hide. I try with all my might, I just can't win the fight. I'm slowly drifting, a vagabond. And just when I ran out of road, I met a man I didn't know, and he told me that I was not alone.
Team, thank you so much. We'll come back in a little bit and worship a little bit more. I love that song that we started singing. You can be seated this morning. I love that song. First time I heard it, I saw the Easter story in my mind. Some of the characters that we'll talk about today and the passages that we'll read, I think you'll see this song laid out in their hearts. I think this is what they would have sang when they all gathered together after they had seen Jesus again. I think this would have been their theme song. I have just a few announcements here. We're going to dismiss our kids. Kids, are you ready? Oh, man, Miss Jackie has something so special for Easter. So Miss Jackie is back there in the center. You guys are dismissed to go to kids' church today. The one announcement I'd like to make this morning is that we'd like to send our condolences to the family of Ruth Radcliffe. Her grandson, Justin Gaff, passed away earlier this week from heart failure. You may have seen Justin here at church. He was baptized two summers ago outside in outside service. I don't know if anybody remembers. There was a morning where, excuse me, I didn't plan to share this. I felt like the Holy Spirit said, if you jump in the baptismal, somebody will get baptized today. And I thought, this is the craziest thing that the Holy Spirit's ever asked me to do, just jump in the baptismal. And I did it. And Justin came forward and got baptized that morning. And afterwards got to talk to him. And he said, you know, Pastor, I felt it was foolish to get baptized until you jumped in that water. And I thought, well, if our pastor's willing to be that big a fool, I can be a fool for Jesus too. So yeah, we are excited to be able to host his service here at the church. It will be at Wednesday. Visitation will be from 11 to 1. Service is going to be from 1 to 1:30, or approximately 1:30. And Mike Nichols will be officiating. And so it's going to be a phenomenal service. You can make it. I hope that Friday, I was thinking about had eye surgery this week. Hannah broke her leg this week. I am, I think, 12 days in to having some neurological problems. We've diagnosed it as aphasia, some type of aphasia, with the right side of my head and face, which can be very painful and distracting. And I sat down Friday, and I wrote this. With great suffering comes an abundance of grace. And where there is an abundance of grace, the power of Christ flows in abundance. Proof of concept, Good Friday to Easter morning. If you are in a place this morning of suffering, I assure you that grace abounds for you. And in grace, you will find the power of Christ today. Amen. Amen. As we go through today's sermon, it's about doorways and roads. Doorways and roads for Easter. Of all the characters in the Easter story, there's an inanimate object that represents such a deep spiritual truth. The point of view that you have on the stone that was in front of the tomb will directly impact your point of view of Easter and in turn your point of view on Christ. The stone is a pivotal part of the Easter story, and that's what we're going to explore this morning. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be in this place today, to gather together and to worship you. And Lord, you are the center of our attention. Lord, we thank you for an amazing weekend, a great Friday night service, the powerful time to love on our community yesterday with about 125 kids in attendance. And Lord, over 20 kids that raised their hands to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord at this event. Lord, we now want to end well, end the weekend well, and we put all of our focus on you. Lord, I pray that your anointing would be upon me to preach effectively this morning in Jesus' mighty name. And God's people said, amen. We're going to turn to the book of Mark for the majority of our scripture this morning, Mark chapter 16. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. Don't be alarmed, he said. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him, but go tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. Trembling in bewilderment, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. Point number one, the door to the tomb. Why was the stone rolled away? Early on Sunday morning, Mary Magdalene, along with two other women, went to the tomb. And what was their purpose for going to the tomb? It was to anoint Jesus's body. Why is this important? Because following Jewish custom, they would wrap the body in strips of linen and mixed myrrh and aloe. However, just before and placed Jesus in Joseph's own tomb, located in the garden near the place of Jesus' crucifixion. And now it's not until the early on Sunday morning that these ladies go, well, we have not yet anointed the body for burial, for death, so we need to go do that because we couldn't do it the day before. But I want to let you know the Holy Spirit knew that this is how it was going to be happen. And Jesus' body had been anointed. Because at the dinner that happened at Martha's house, when Mary would go and wash Jesus' feet, she anointed him for his burial. Mary took a pound of expensive ointment made out of pure nard and anointed his feet and wiped his feet with her hair. This only happens because the Holy Spirit is leading her to do this, and this was preparation for his burial. Jesus was the only one aware of it. No one else could have thought of it, put it together. But Jesus understood this moment in time was to keep with the tradition of Jewish burial. How good is God? He takes care of all the details. In a life where we are so busy and so caught up, we try to do everything right, but let's face it, there are things that fall through the cracks. Jesus gets all the details. Amen?
Amen.
He's got it taken care of. Let's go back to the tomb. The women came to the tomb and had a question. Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? Because in their mind, they still had to anoint Jesus. That was the mission. And this was, if you kind of picture in your mind the tomb, sometimes we kind of think, well, there's three ladies. Surely they could have figured out a way to move this stone. All right. Well, one, they weren't engineers. All right. So they weren't able to figure out some type of lever system to do this. Plus, you have to take in the weight that this stone would have been. At a minimum, it would have been 1.5 tons. Robbie, Anthony, I know you guys have been working out. How do you feel about bench pressing, 10.5? No? Yeah, probably not going to happen. Here these three ladies are, and they're thinking, how in the world is this going to happen? So you have to ask yourself the question, why are these ladies going out before sunrise to do this? If they know the stone is there, they're only asking that question as they're getting ready to get them upon the tomb. The only answer I can possibly give you is that they were being led by the Holy Spirit. And if you have ever had an encounter with the Spirit where he has led you somewhere, where you're like, I don't even know why I'm doing what I'm doing, you understand why these women were there. I've had those kind of encounters where all of a sudden, I'm getting ready to go home, I'm leaving the church office, and the Holy Spirit goes, you need to go buy milk. And I'm like, I bought milk yesterday. I don't need milk. I don't know why the Holy Spirit can never remind me to buy milk when I need milk, but, I don't need milk. But then you show up at the gas station or the grocery store, and as you're going to check out with that gallon of milk, here is this individual who all of a sudden can't pay for their groceries, and the Holy Spirit goes, I need you to pay for their groceries. I don't know if you've ever been there, but I know I have. And I believe that's where these women were. Somehow they were inspired by the Spirit. We got to go do this. They didn't think to wake up any of the guys, or they tried to, and they didn't get up. I don't know. But they're here now, and they're, in their mind, their mission to anoint Jesus' body is in jeopardy because they could not do it by themselves. However, the task they needed to perform was not to anoint Jesus' body at all, because that had already been taken care of. Now, upon arriving at the tomb, the stone was rolled away. And this is the important view that we must look at. A lot of people view that the stone was rolled away because Jesus had to get out of the tomb. But I want to spoil that theory. Because we're just walls. So we know that he can do that. And we know from Scripture that he's walking through walls a little bit later. So if he can walk through walls, he does not need a doorway to get out of the tomb. So why then was the stone rolled away? The stone was moved not so Jesus could get out, but so the women could get in. Why is that important? It's not to get in to anoint Jesus. It's to get in to be witnesses of what had happened, to see that he was no longer there. There had to be a doorway for that to happen, for them to be the witness to what God was doing. When God moves heaven and earth, when God does these incredible things that you and I cannot do, it is not for his entertainment. He moves these things for our faith and so that we may be witnesses to his great power in and through our life. God still moves boulders. He still makes doorways. Amen? The tomb would not be the only door that Jesus would make this day. Let's talk about the next doorway he would make. The doorway from sorrow. If we look back at Mark in verse 9, it says this: when Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him and who were mourning and weeping. When they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe it. If we go to John chapter 20, there's a passage here that gives us more insight to this story. I think it's important for us to look at this morning. Let's look at John chapter 20, starting in verse 11. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look in the tomb and saw the two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but did not realize that it was him. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. There are things that happen in our life that block us from seeing Jesus at work. One of those things is sorrow. There is no pain quite like sorrow. Sorrow is a unique type of suffering. The loss of a child, spouse, sibling, or friend, especially unexpectedly, can bring a deep sorrow and a deep type of suffering. Or how about watching a loved one suffer with a medical condition? I think on the last few days, and as difficult as it has been for me, the hardest part is watching my wife have to hold my hand for several hours as I lay in bed and my body jerks in response to the pain in my head. It's a special type of sorrow. It's a special type of suffering. I've watched a lot of Christians in their sorrow once again see him. Because healing only comes from the Master. Psalms 34:18 says this, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit." This passage in Psalms has a deeper revelation when you realize Mary is standing right beside Jesus, but cannot realize it is Jesus standing beside her because of her sorrow and tears. She is unaware the Master is there. And I want to tell you this morning, if you are in a season of sorrow where you are dealing with some type of loss, you are dealing with some type of suffering, and the tears are blocking you from seeing Jesus, just because you don't realize he's not there does not mean that the Master is not beside you. He is there. He is there. When we cannot see Jesus, let me assure you, Jesus sees you. You can say amen to that. Jesus was right there, yet Mary was unaware. "Tell me where you put him," she says to him. "Where have you put Jesus?" When we're overstimulated by our emotions, sometimes we can say things to God that doesn't even make sense. But Jesus does not respond with anger or makes her ashamed. He responds by saying her name. It's not by sight, it is by sound that led to a doorway. When we are blinded by sorrow, we need to listen for the voice of our Savior. We need to listen for the voice of Jesus. Call our name through the haze, through the storm. John 10:27 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and then they follow me." Is that not a powerful verse? My sheep hear my voice. I know them. He knows you. And they follow me. This verse is played out for Mary in this very moment. Because it is once Jesus says her name that she recognizes who is before her. Teacher. Master. For those in sorrow today, you may not be able to see beyond your tears. Reality, the reality that you face doesn't look good. The grave is empty and you think someone has stolen your greatest treasure. But I tell you this morning, you do not need to turn to some spiritual practices that are unbiblical for hope. The only thing you need for hope is to hear the voice of Jesus call your name. And if you ask him to call, he will say your name. In fact, I would tell you this, he is speaking it before we ever ask. It is that we are not listening for his voice. Listen for the voice of Jesus in the midst of your sorrow. But even after this, Jesus is not done rolling stones away and making doorways. Verse 12, back in Mark, says this, while they were walking in the, but they did not believe them either. Point number 3, a doorway from disappointment. The Easter story, I love the road to Emmaus. It is my favorite part of the Easter story. Because here are two men who are discouraged and disappointed. They had walked with Jesus They had been a part of the ministry. They were there a week earlier when they saw the crowd proclaim Jesus as King on Palm Sunday. They were there. They probably thought, man, after all this hard work, we are finally going somewhere. All the sweat and tears. And if you've ever been involved in ministry from the ground up, you know what I'm talking about. Like, it takes a lot of grit and a lot of guts. And you get going, and some days you want to throw in the towel, but you keep going because you know Jesus has called you, and you know that this is the right time and the right place, and it doesn't always look pretty. You don't always get the results that you want, but you keep moving forward. And I'm sure they thought, finally, man, finally, after all this time serving with Jesus, the doors are opening for a brand new aspect of ministry. This is it. This is what we've been waiting for. And then, boom, Jesus is arrested. He is tortured. He is crucified. He is dead. And these guys are walking away from the ministry and walking away from their relationships because they're like, it's all over. They're disappointed. They're disillusioned. But then Jesus shows up and walks with these men on the road. But they didn't recognize him. Our disappointment, discouragement, disillusionment can blind us from seeing Jesus. These men could not recognize Christ. That is, until they get to their destination and invite Jesus to eat with them. And then let's look at Luke chapter 24, verse 30, because it says this. When he was at the table with them, he took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? It's when they broke bread that they recognized Jesus. Bread has many different meanings, especially in the Word of God. Bread can take the form of bread we actually eat. It also, bread represents the living bread, Jesus Christ himself. And the bread also represents the Word of God, the Bible. Look at what they said. He talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us. When you're trapped in a tomb of discouragement, disillusionment, when your experiences stop you from having expectations about the future, you go, well, this is what I've experienced, so this is what it always has to be. I encourage you to do this. Break open the Word of God, because the Word of God is a doorway to Jesus every single time. 25 years, I have heard people say, well, Jesus isn't talking to me. I'm like, you are not reading the Bible. I mean, I hate to just be that blunt, but that is the truth. He is speaking. And when we say he is not speaking, the problem is not Jesus. The problem is we are not listening. If you open the Bible and open the Word of God, I guarantee you it is a doorway to Jesus. And you know what will begin to happen when you begin to see Jesus in the Word of God and he begins to speak to you through his Word? The same thing that happened to these two men. They began to have greater expectations once again. And you know what they had to do? They had to go tell somebody. And when Jesus starts opening the doorway in your heart, you got to tell somebody. God is good, is he not? One final point for today, which would be great if I had the last page of my notes. So check it out. We're going noteless. Totally good. One last point. The door to the road beyond Easter. In Mark, they've gathered together, and then Jesus shows up. And what's he do? What after this whole thing, what does he do? He begins to speak to them and he gives them the greatest commandment. To take the word and go. To take what they've experienced. Don't keep it to yourself. Don't keep it in this room. But take the word with you. And he gives them not several gifts, one being direction on how to engage with the Holy Spirit. But he does this amazing thing. He binds them together. And he encourages them that you're not alone. You have each other. You don't have to do this all alone. You don't have to be Rambo and go out there and save the world all by yourself. We do it with each other. Would you guys show that video?
This tree is over 300 feet tall, estimated to be at least 600 years old. And that's nothing. There are trees towering over this forest that were just seedlings when Christ was walking on the earth. How deep do you think the roots are on a tree like this? 100 feet? 1,000 feet? The truth is, a tree this tall can't grow roots deep enough to support itself. That is why redwoods have intertwining roots. They support one another. These trees literally do for each other what they can't do alone. I think Jesus demonstrated that same mindset for us, that we're all in this together, supporting one another. I mean, think about it. He never just passed somebody by, leaving them stuck. Jesus was constantly intertwining his life with those he came in contact with. He called people out of obscurity to join him in his journey of changing the world. He healed a blind man with mud. He restored a chronically ill outcast with merely the hem of his garment. He renewed one woman's hope for second chances and reminded a Pharisee of his need for mercy instead of morality. Jesus' ministry was constantly intertwined with people, connecting with them on the most intimate levels and changing their lives forever. Jesus called his followers to love people the way that he loved them, to bring health to the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, touch the untouchables, and as you have been treated generously, so live generously. And that call hasn't expired. Yeah. His charge to the church is just as clear today as ever. Therefore, may we be rooted in Christ, intertwined with one another, so that we may continue his mission.
Easter is just not one day. It's every day for us. Or at least interlocking, busy, and frustrating, and exhausting. We need a Savior, but we also need each other. And Jesus knew that. I'm tired of the word shame. When we're wounded, when we've messed up, when we've got issues, the devil loves to shame us and say, run away and isolate yourself. It's the biggest bunch of garbage. All the people in church won't love you. They won't accept you once they find out you messed up, that once they find out about this pain, once they find out about your past. I have some choice words for those things that I can't say in church, except to say they are lies. We are called to be the people of God, and we were never called to be perfect. We were called to walk in grace and in the fruit of the Spirit. And when one of our brothers or sisters are wounded, we love them. We do not shame them. There is no shame in this house. And you do not have to be perfect to worship the King here. This morning, if you would do this, if you would just bow your head for just a minute, No one looking around. I don't know, maybe it's your first time here. Maybe you've been here your entire life. But this morning, the Spirit is working on you, and you know you need a relationship with Jesus Christ. Would you just raise your hand and acknowledge that you need a Savior this morning? Thank you. I want to lead us in a prayer, church. You don't get saved by me praying something. You get saved by acknowledging some things and having a conversation with Christ. To start a relationship with Jesus, you have to realize that you need a Savior and that we're broken. When we talk about sin, we tend to put it on things. Oh, well, that's a sin. This is a sin. Sin at its very heart is missing the mark. It is imperfection. It is brokenness. We are all broken in need of a Savior. We all miss the mark. The next step is to realize that to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He came, that He died, and that He rose again. And then to ask Jesus to begin to be the Lord of your life and to help you follow Him. So I'm going to pray, but if you would pray those things to the Lord yourself, you would begin a relationship with Jesus. Lord, I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I am broken. I am not perfect. And Lord, I pray to you. I want to confess that you are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You are the Son of God, that you came, that you died, and that you rose again. And that, Lord, I want to have a relationship with you. Lord, save me. Come into my life and help me to start following you. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, that's step one. Step two is plug in. If you don't have a church home, please consider Hillside Assembly. Build some relationships. Connect with someone. Because you can't do this alone. And I want to encourage you to do this. I know that there were some who raised their hands. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you out. Would you do this? Before you leave this place, would you tell somebody, I accepted Jesus today? Nobody is going to shame you. They're going to do the opposite. They're going to be excited and celebrate with you. Amen? Church, we still got a road ahead of us. Amen? God's not done working. He's not done reaching people. He's not done doing miracles. So let's see what tomorrow would hold. Worship team, if you'd come back. Can we thank God one more time this morning with our praise and worship before we're dismissed? We're going to do this song one more time, then Robbie will pray and dismiss service. If you can pray over the offering as well. I want to say this is your pastor. I love my church. I love our community. And I believe greater things are still ahead. Amen.
Wandering and through the night, wanting a place to hide, is with you so incredible. I try with all my might, but I just can't win the fight. I'm slowly drifting. Place my can't deny what I've seen. Got no choice but to believe my doubts are burning like ashes in the wind.
For this Easter Sunday, you remind us of the life that you have given to us. Lord, I pray throughout the week that you would continue to remind us of your goodness and your grace and your favor in our lives. God, may we walk in your presence. May we read your word and trust in you in every situation that we may face this week. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to give of our tithes and our offerings to you. God, I pray that more people would come to know you as Lord and Savior because we are faithful to give to you. God, do a work in this church. Do a work in this city. God, do a work in this nation. We give you praise and glory and honor. And everybody said, amen. Have a great Easter Sunday, everyone.
meeting face to face. I am yours, Jesus, you are mine. Empty joy, perfect peace, earthly pain finally will cease. Celebrate, Jesus is alive. He's alive.
Going on.